You're listening to Greater LA. It's KCRW's show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiatakis. High school students in East LA were on the march this morning. And that march came as the Supreme Court heard arguments about whether hundreds of thousands of young people brought to this country illegally can stay here in the U.S. The Trump administration wants to end President Barack Obama's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA, which allows so-called dreamers to live and work in the U.S.
Por favor, vamos a seguir luchando. Y si se puede.
Aquí estamos y no nos vamos. Aquí estamos y aquí progresamos. Aquí estamos y aquí luchamos. Que la pase muy buenos días.
Now that's L.A. County Supervisor Hilda Solis vocalizing their support for folks such as Leticia Zarasusa. Like 700,000 of her peers across the country, Leticia is DACA mented. She's here legally, but with no guarantee that she can stay.
I feel that I'm in a place where I need to put a lot of different faces just to be able to fit in. And that's why I say that it's exhausting being a dreamer, being undocumented, and not everyone understands that.
And KCRW's Benjamin Gottlieb has been reporting on this story for us. He joins me in the studio right now. Hi, Benjamin.
Hello, Steve.
So can you give us a profile of who exactly a DACA recipient is?
Absolutely. These are young adults brought to the U.S. before their 16th birthday and also prior to June of 2007. And they're either in school, a high school graduate or above, or serving in the military. Clean record is a must. Felony renders you ineligible. And if you look at the data, we know that they are overwhelmingly from Mexico. Almost 90% of them also work. We also know, and this is perhaps the most important piece of this entire puzzle, they do not right now have a path to citizenship. Every 2 years, they must apply for a renewal. Now, this whole program came about from an executive order from former President Barack Obama, and the legality of ending it is now being battled over in the U.S. Supreme Court.
An executive order from 2012, right before the re-election of Barack Obama. About a third, Benjamin, of all DACA recipients live right here in California. I know the numbers are extraordinarily high. You had the chance to speak with some folks here in L.A. about this big Supreme Court case. How are they feeling? I would imagine a lot of folks are a bit on edge.
Absolutely. Everything is at stake for someone like Leticia Zarasusa. I met her at her office on Alvera Street. She works for an organization called COFEM, which is a nonprofit that helps immigrants with a number of things, including a path to citizenship. And Leticia is a dreamer. She has DACA. Here's her story.
I came to the U.S. when I was 9, and I remember it was during this month, and my dad was already here. He had been here for a year and a half. And it was a scary journey, I want to say, just because you're coming with a person that you had never seen before, and you're stuck with them for a good amount of hours without any of your parents.
Are you talking about like a coyote?
Yeah. So it pretty much is a coyote who you haven't seen before. You don't know who he is or who she is. You don't know if they're taking you with your parents or with family members. So it was just really scary. And I remember she dropped me off and my brother at a parking lot. And she called my dad to come pick us up. And I remember seeing my dad coming towards us, and my brother just got out of the van. He ran up to my dad and he was hugging him. Yet when I wanted to get out of the car, she pulled me back. She's like, "You're not going anywhere until your dad pays me." And it was just like, those seconds turned out to be like years for me, because I saw my brother, yeah, with my dad, but yet I couldn't be with them.
Wow. She has basically had this question about whether she can stay in the United States from the beginning of her time here, right?
Yeah, and it continues. Even though she's been out of the shadows and working legally because of DACA for nearly 7 years, this is still a concern. And her biggest concern, Steve, are her parents. They're undocumented.
I'm the one that provides for them. I'm providing for the household. I'm providing, research of whatever they need. Like if they need medical assistance, I need to figure it out. Why? Because they don't have a social. They don't have other documents that can prove that they can provide that insurance, right? So It's just a lot of work, and sometimes it leaves you with zero energy.
You know, Benjamin, I think about this, and especially the national implications to all of this, the federal implications, but what about right here at home in L.A. County? What's the county's response to all of this?
Well, the county has adopted a very protective posture toward immigrants, and not just dreamers, but the undocumented in general. I caught up with Rigoberto Reyes. He's the executive director for the county's Office of Immigrant Affairs. He says the county's position is supported simply by the numbers. More than a third of the county's population, immigrants. About 1 million undocumented.
More than 42% of the employed workforce in the LA County are immigrants. 60% of all kids born in LA County have at least one immigrant parent. So what happens when we don't support that huge segment of our population, right? If they are successful, we all benefit. But if they're not, then we all suffer.
And I should also mention, Steve, no state has more DACA recipients than California. And while there are not exact numbers, the largest concentration are believed to be in the Los Angeles area.
Are the dreamers, Benjamin, that you spoke with, are they preparing for a life without DACA? Do they prepare to be deported? What happens?
It's a constant state of uncertainty. And I can tell you that Leticia sure is. I asked her about her plans.
I mean, it's been in my mind for a long time now. If DACA is terminated, I would just have to find another resource, right? And this could be like being a consultant and being able to get paid through not necessarily having a social, but through stipends. But yet I still have the faith that nothing bad is going to happen. I'm trying to stay positive.
If you could, would you become a citizen?
Of course. Of course, I would be like 100% sure that I want to be a U.S. citizen. Why? Because most of my life has been here. A lot of my people, right, Mexicans, they tend to think that whenever you become a U.S. citizen, you're pretty much giving your back to your homeland. And I don't think that. I don't believe that.
Benjamin, I know President Trump has used DACA to try and get a deal from Democrats in the past, money for his border wall being a prime example. Congress also was close to a deal before the administration then deemed it unacceptable. Is it possible that if the Supreme Court rules in favor of the president on this issue, that we might even see more momentum toward the direction, say, of a long-term fix, maybe a legislative fix for dreamers?
Yeah, I put that question to Abel Valenzuela. He is the director of UCLA's Institute for Research on Labor and Employment and also a special advisor to the school's chancellor on immigration policy.
I just think carrots and sticks, as much as we've discussed them over the past few years, they've not yet produced any policy. That said, if the Supreme Court does support Trump, I do think that the stakes are even higher and that might be a bigger stick that compels Congress to move on legislation that is comprehensive.
So what's the timeline, Benjamin, then? When will there be a decision?
So a decision is not expected until next summer. What we do know is that the federal government is still accepting renewal requests from DACA recipients. But what remains very much unclear is how the court will decide. We know the president has appointed two justices to the Supreme Court. It'll be interesting to see how they rule. Analysts think Chief Justice John Roberts could be the swing vote on this decision, and he really did not show his hand in court this morning.
But we know that it's a divided court, certainly, in the argument so far. KCRW's Benjamin Gottlieb reporting for us live. Benjamin, thank you.
Anytime, Steve.
Thanks also, by the way, to KCRW's Angel Carreras, who went down to the student walkout over at Garfield High School.